Turn your Bibles first to 1 Corinthians 11, if you would. I don't have notes this hour. I mean, I have my notes. I'm revisiting something that I've talked about. I don't know. It's probably been 12 or 15 years ago here. I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians 11 just briefly, then I'm going to jump over to John 13. So, 1 Corinthians 11. And if you look at verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, something that we, I think, probably miss easily because we skip over it because we're thinking of other things. But verse 23 says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus," and then here's the part I want you to hear here, "on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." To me, one of the most profound things that you see in the life of Jesus is his selfless approach to everything. Obviously, he left the glory of heaven to take on flesh and all that. But that lasted all the way to the end. On the same night in which he was betrayed, if you would put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to be betrayed to death, you would be killed because of the betrayal, would you give up? The sermon I preached, I don't know, probably 12 years ago or more here, related to that, and I jumped over to John 13. Would you turn to John 13? Because it's even more profound than Jesus taking bread and breaking it and saying, "This is my body, which is for you." In the same night he was betrayed, something else happened. And maybe I'll develop it more in a full sermon sometime. At times I've preached full sermons on the first session, and then we observe communion in the second session, because I don't like to just run through communion. I believe it misses the entire point if it just turns into mechanics. But I want to show you what Jesus did. What was his attitude and his actions the night in which he was betrayed? Look at John 13. Starting with verse 1. And this is the same night. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Another whole sermon I'm setting aside here. Verse 2, "And supper being ended," saddest verse in the Bible, maybe, "the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God." Okay, Jesus knew he was going to be betrayed, and he would soon be put to death. Now, my question before I keep reading is, when is it right to quit serving? When is it right to throw in the towel? Jesus was up against the worst night you could ever imagine. Let me take you to verse 4 now. "He rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet." Let me throw the 1 Corinthians in it again. In the same night he was betrayed, he did this. What profound love. What profound humbleness or humility, and what profound service you find in John 13. And I'm not done yet. Verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter to wash his feet, right? And Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, wash you, you have no part of me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now, I'm not commenting directly on just the discourse that they just had. That's for another time. But who was Peter? And what had Jesus said to Peter just before this time? He had told Peter that he was going to deny him 3 times before morning. And Peter said, never, never will happen, right? It's always good to argue with the God of the universe, but it's never going to happen. Jesus, knowing that Peter was going to deny him, did what to Peter's feet? He washed Peter's feet. Is that not one of the most profound things? That Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, washed the feet of the man who would deny him in his worst day ever. It doesn't explicitly say it here. It just says in the disciples, though. Jesus also washed the feet of the one who would betray him. This was before, well, after the supper, he washed the feet of Judas. Now, in our wildest imagination, we might be able to say, well, knowing that Peter would betray me, I would still wash his feet. I don't think you would have. I wouldn't have. I would have been busting his feet up with my hand so much. I would have broke his legs. What a friend, right? But what about washing the person that would arrange for your death? Would you wash his feet? Jesus taught that you're to love your what? Your enemy. That's about as loving as you can do. He acted as a slave in washing feet, doing the menial tasks of the man who would betray him to the high priest. Years ago when I taught this, It was such a profound time because I hadn't really thought about Judas nearly as much and all that, but Jesus loved the people that hated him even. He served the people that hated him even. He served the people that denied him even. Do you ever see yourself in the light of being so petty about what others say or do to you? Once you see this, you can't do that. Jesus is so humble in showing love and care for people that will, in short order, with his knowledge, wrong him in some of the worst ways possible. And yet it did not keep him from serving them. When Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 11:23 that in the same night he was betrayed, that is so pregnant with truth. It is not a flitting statement about time. It's a statement about the timing and circumstances that went on leading up to that time, right? He's saying that Jesus, after knowing all of this was going to happen, took the time to say, now, before the end of this, let me give you one more thing. After I've washed your feet and all of that, he took some bread the same night and he was betrayed, and he said, this is my body for you. Right? He is still thinking about everyone else around him, not woe is me, poor me, what's going to happen to me. That is, I believe, our default posture, right? Poor me, woe is me, if you only knew how bad I had it. And our Savior did just, he flipped it upside down and said, let me give you one more thing to remember. I am doing this. My body, this bread is to remind me of giving myself for you. And he just didn't do it on the cross. He did it all the way up to the cross. And it, I mean, I can't hardly, with a sober face, discuss that. He is not thinking about himself. When is it right to give up serving other people? When is it right to throw in the towel? And Jesus would say, never. And I honestly believe a part of communion, and there's so many parts to it, and it, I say that knowing that maybe we don't even grasp it all, and that's why I've preached so many sermons just on communion before I've done communion, because there's so much there that Jesus is trying to remind us of. But one is of that sacrificial service and care for other people, even people that wrong you, is implicitly built into communion. So communion, remember the scenario that Paul was confronting in 1 Corinthians 11 was that people weren't waiting for other people, and you know they were fat and full and the others didn't have anything to eat, and so wait for one another. Remember that, what we talked about in January, that was the solution. If you're hungry, eat at home. When you come together, can wait for one another. That was his two solutions. But there is so much there in the example of the Lord Jesus in the night he was betrayed. He cared even for the one who would deny him, and he cared even for the one who would betray him. And by the way, all but one ran away. So it isn't like just two. It was the group. John followed from a distance, right? Remember? Peter followed for a while and then went and wept bitterly. John was there seemingly near the cross because Jesus said, woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother, kind of idea. Okay? But so he was washing the feet of people that he knew had not arrived, one that would deny him, one that would ultimately betray him. It wasn't even his real friend at all. Judas was not his true friend. Okay? It was not his true follower. But my challenge to you today is, when you can consider communion, consider that Jesus did this in the midst of his darkest hour and he still was caring for other people that hated him or that would deny him. And I believe that is the example he sets for us to follow and how we care for one another. When we do the whole communion thing, that bread, we are one bread. God is not kidding. We are here knowing that every one of us wrongs us at times. Every one of us is faulty. Maybe you haven't noticed. We are. We're not here because we've arrived. We're here because we haven't arrived, maybe. All right? When you arrive, you don't have to come back, right? But the idea is you're serving broken people that hurt other people at times, and yes, they have been hurt by other people. Jesus knew what was coming and the worst case scenario, and he still served the people at it that should be serving him, by the way. The God of the universe, okay? When you consider that you might be holding a grudge or unwilling to forgive or holding on to hurt, think about what Jesus did the night he was betrayed. Before he took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you," he washed the feet of those that would flee, washed the feet of those, the person that would deny him, and even washed the feet of the person who betrayed him. That's what God calls us to do, to serve with humility. And today, that's the truth I want to emphasize as we eat the bread and drink the juice this morning. I'm going to have the men come forward. So let me just read out of 1 Corinthians while Jim's over here. We're going to do the bread. Pastor Jim, hold up a... Do you have the single loaf first? Why don't you hold that up? I always like to use a single loaf to start with. We actually have two just for speed today. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:17, we are one bread, one body. I honestly believe that is a significant picture. Everything you do impacts everyone else here. Okay? And is intended to do that. We are one bread and we are to serve. We are one body and we are connected together. And then Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you." So we're Jesus' body. We are to serve just as Jesus did in humility, even those that hurt us or harm us. And by the way, I don't know of anything I'm addressing. I'm not saying I know of a problem. I would talk to you personally. I just believe that people exist and we're here and we all are hurt and all hurt other people at times. Understand that Jesus, in that context, served the people around him. And we are one bread, one body, and we are to care for this broken, hurtful, sometimes hurting body out of the goodness and humility that God gives us through the Lord Jesus and following his example. Let me read out of 1 Corinthians 11 then before we pray about the bread here. And this is, I'll just read it briefly here. It says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered from you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Remember Jesus, yes. Death on the cross, first and foremost, that's primary. But he did it for us and he served people. He says, "You are my body, serve people." And by the way, 1 Corinthians 12, the next chapter, talks all about that. That you impact the people in the body. So we're supposed to hurt with them. We're supposed to rejoice with them. So as we hand this out, let's just pray and thank God for his sacrifice, Jesus' sacrificial service, as well as his sacrifice on the cross. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who not only went to the cross, which is the most profound of all, to give his life for us, but Lord, he also exemplified that his body was given for us, and we are now his body, and we are to serve like he did the night in which he was betrayed. We are to serve the imperfect and faulty people, which is the church. We are to serve and care for people that sometimes hurt us, sometimes people that harm us, sometimes people that might deny us or even betray us. just like Jesus did. And Lord, help us to follow Jesus' pattern, being willing to wash people's feet, being willing to do menial tasks even for people that might even, that we know that are against us. And we pray, Lord, that we do that out of love, knowing that you work in our midst and through our service to honor the Lord Jesus and to accomplish his work. Thank you for the death of Jesus, his sacrifice of his body while he was alive, as well as while he died on the cross for our sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The men will hand out the bread. There's pieces in the tray, but you can also pull a piece off. There's also crackers on the inside, I think. And then just hold it till everyone gets a piece, okay? We haven't talked about the cup, but let me read it. In the same manner, he, Jesus, also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he goes on to say, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So the cup, which we haven't talked about again, is what Jesus accomplished through that. His death was the payment. The cup is what he provided through it. So as we relate it to us, living as Jesus did, as we serve one another, it actually helps provide what every joint supplies, Ephesians talks about, for the edifying of the building up of the body of Christ. So as Jesus accomplished on the cross, giving his body for us and providing things through his blood, the new covenant, the right relationship with God, that continues through us, emulating what Jesus has done and how it produces and works his will through our lives and actually activates the new covenant in us. So let's go ahead and, well, let me pray for the cup and then we'll hand it. Lord, we thank you for not only what Jesus did on the cross, but also what he accomplished through the cross. His resurrection sealed the idea that we have a new covenant that you provide in every way, that we have a right relationship with you, and that our life is lived on that basis. Our religious spiritual walk is based upon that. And help us, Lord, to continue to learn and grow in what Jesus has accomplished. And Lord, as we serve one another, may we be the tools to help activate the truths of God's word in each one of our lives as we build up one another and do our part in the body of Christ to care for one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we drink the juice, let's do so remembering what the Lord has provided for us. Thank you, man. Thank you, hymn books. Turn to 605. Let's stand and sing this as we close today. I honestly believe that that's what this is all about. We're living as Jesus for Jesus. Sing out now. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give. for to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, mine shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Let's sing verse 3 as the last. Okay, sorry, Paul. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name, willing to suffer affliction or loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Ethan, close us in prayer, please. Amen.